Hello, hello. This is the Sleon Productions podcast where we interview influencers, business owners, people that have gone through the strides and want to share their value. We also interview book authors as well. Today we're going a bit local, which we interview typically local here and there, but I really get excited when I interview more like local here in like the South Florida area from Miami to West Palm Beach. And we got a personality that I met a couple of months ago at WordCamp Miami, which is a WordPress conference. And obviously, we talk about like the WordPress, platform, what could be used. A couple of the sessions is marketing. And we got a local person this year at our WordCamp conference, Carlos Vasquez, known as the Miami Marketer. And his biography says he has been getting paid to leverage technology to connect brands with humans since 2003. It all started with a prank call to Fidel Castro, and from that point has the advantage of building campaigns for some major companies like the Miami Marketer. Miami Marketer, Carlos Vasquez, welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
What is up, my brother? Aquí in Miami, hanging out the best way we can.
Like I said, we first met at the WordCamp conference back in early March before the pandemic. You're full of energy. Can you tell us your experience from that conference?
Brother, all right, so the only reason that it appears that I was full of energy was because it was pure nervousness. I don't even know that's a word, but every time I'm standing in front of a crowd sharing anything that I'm passionate about, I get excited. My nerves are like taking over, and I get to, and then when I see the response of everybody feeling like they're getting so much value, it just kind of pushes me like to this high. Like I feel like this natural high because of it. In my experience, this was actually this year was my second year doing WordCamp, and it's always been like so impactful in making me feel like I'm on the right track. It makes me feel like I'm really helping people. And when people are like coming to me, I remember after my session, I had people follow me to the break room so I can kind of just, they just kept on picking my brain. Also to talk about the gifts because there aren't that many people that care about it. And the ones that do care about it, it's hard to find them. So when WordCamp comes to Miami, it kind of puts us all together so we can kind of just share the goods and just geek out, man. And that's been pretty much my experience both times.
Tell us a little bit about your journey.
All right. So, man, where do I begin? Okay, so I'm going to try to fast forward as much as possible because my journey has been long and full of adventure. It involves BBSs. It involves the Marine Corps. And it involves prank calling Fidel Castro. So I'm going to try to go through all of them as fast as possible. So, my love for computers really started like in the early 90s, where my dad had a Packard Bell with a super VGA monitor. And that basically meant that the graphics looked like comic book graphics or like somebody drawing realistic paintings with crayons or whatever. It looks pretty good for the time. And then I saw him playing games and I told him, hey dad, I want to go ahead and play. I want to play games because I had a Sega Master System. So, you know, when you're a young kid, you always want to play games. So then he said, sure, I'll let you play games, but here's how you're going to have to learn how to play the games. And he gave me this book on DOS. He got me a computer, an EGA monitor. It had like 16 colors or whatever. And then he said, if you want to play games, you have to read this book because this book is going to tell you how to find the game, how to start the game, and how to play the game. And it was a book on DOS. And I was like, bummed out because I didn't want to have to read a book to play a game, but because I really wanted to play and I knew that these games weren't on the like a Nintendo or the Sega, I was incentivized to really dive in. And long and behold, I got motivated, I got inspired, and then he created a monster because it went from starting to play games to creating like Windows like management system. This was before like Windows became really popular. Like you can actually create like menus and all this cool stuff. Fast forward to like 1997, I learned how to make websites by using Microsoft Front Page, and I would right click a website, view source, paste it in Microsoft Front Page, and then learn how to make sites like that. fast forward to 1999, I joined the Marine Corps. Fun fact, I was rejected by the Marine Corps as a computer guy because I didn't pass the ASVAB test. I didn't get enough of a score to become a computer person in the Marine Corps. And another fun fact, in Miami-Dade County Public Schools, they marked me as computer illiterate, meaning that I didn't know how to use computers according to Miami-Dade County schools. Anyways, I digress. So now I went into the Marine Corps. I went to the Marine as a ammunition technician. That's somebody that's responsible for keeping track of all the ammunition that we send out to war, delivering ammunition to the front lines, and making sure that we have enough bullets to defend ourselves, and making sure that when we store the ammunition, like grenades, the missiles, they're not stored in a way where they can blow up. So a lot of fun stuff when it came to ammunition. But then when the master gunnery sergeant got a whiff that I was good at computers, he went ahead and said, you know what? I heard you know how to use a computer. Why don't you help us set up a network? And I took a challenge and I set it up. He was impressed. And they ended up giving me a secondary job in the Marine Corps. And I became the computer guy for the entire battalion. Now, fast forward to like the year 2003, I finished my first tour in the Marine Corps. And I got a whiff that could be a recruiter for the Marine Corps. So as I was trying to become a recruiter, I volunteered to do the morning show website at El Sol 95. They didn't have a web guy, and websites really weren't that popular. I mean, they were popular enough to know that everyone should have one, but it wasn't what they are now. And I volunteered to do the website in exchange. I'd do it for free. In exchange, I'd get access to like concerts, clubs, hang out with celebrities, and all that jazz. So one of the first things that I ended up doing was create the website, and we were known for prank calling a bunch of people. And one of those prank calls turned out to be a prank call to Fidel Castro. So with this prank call, I ended up creating my first funnel where if you wanted to hear the call, you had to put your name and email address into the website, and the website would capture your email address and then give you a link so you can hear the actual call. At the time, we were using like Real Player Audio. And then from there, because of this little funnel, I ended up building an email list of over 250,000 email addresses. And that's it. My whole digital marketing career really started taking off at that point because the radio station saw this as a huge opportunity to monetize it. They needed someone to manage the emails, manage a bunch of the digital geek stuff. And I was just there. I already proved my experience that I was able to do it. So this led me to have experience with Coca-Cola, Universal, Disney, all these other major companies that had the deep pockets for the software. And since I already had like this experience with all the software in 2015, when the software became more affordable to level the playing field for small businesses, I was one of the first people that already had a good way to use all the software. And then that's it. My business really grew from that point on because I was able to apply a lot of the strategies I've already learned from the different years working with the other companies and apply it to small businesses. And now what I primarily do is I set these systems up for businesses, small businesses, small to medium enterprises. They rely on me to train their staff. And now I primarily focus on creating virtual events and using all my digital marketing experience to promote the events, find people, and kind of help people build meaningful connections. And that's it, man. That's my story.
Being a marketer, I mean, I'm pretty much a web developer, but I do cross over into marketing sometimes. And I've seen tools change throughout the years. How has tools changed back then compared to right now?
I would say that they've become the user experience is very big right now for a lot of these tools. So back then, you had to be be pretty big on the developer side and understand the geekery, the code, understand what you're reading. Like, I didn't know how to write it. I still don't know how to write code, but I can read it. I understand code. And I know what to tweak based off of what I'm seeing. And I won't break, I won't try to write the code from scratch, but I can make edits to something and know what I'm, feel pretty comfortable with it. But now, a lot of the tools are very visual. And what they're trying to do is make it so that you can pretty much pick up right where visually what you need to do. So the tools have become a lot easier to use. I think the harder part is trying to apply the use case to a real world need. Like, for example, like one of my favorite tools is ActiveCampaign. And ActiveCampaign is very robust. It's very easy to put something together, but getting the idea to know what to build is probably the harder part now. It's really up to your imagination. So it's no longer that you have to know how to code. You just need to come up with something that you think would be helpful for what you're trying to accomplish.
What is the biggest demand you hear a lot from prospective clients and maybe have become clients? Is it SEO? Do you hear a lot of demand for? Do you hear about, you know, Facebook presence? What have you been listening a lot lately?
So when I SEO used to be, it's actually still a buzzword people throw out there when they're talking to like someone like me. But it's not because they know what it is. It's just that they hear it over and over. And SEO, in my opinion, is not as strong as it used to be. It's not as popular as it used to be when it comes to like making, moving the needle with your marketing. What I really understand, what people really want is, I need sales. I need to make money. I can't pay the bills with traffic. I need to pay the bills with sales. What can you do to help me make money off of my website? And that's been pretty much the real underlying need that most people have. Like, they'll ask about, oh, can you do social media and SEO? You know, I say I'm capable of it, but I really like to dig deeper to really find out what they're trying to accomplish. And after asking those questions, the real underlying ask is basically, how can I make money to pay you? That's pretty much what it comes down to. And then I tell them, look, we build the systems that generate those leads, and then we use the automations to push that person to the next step, which usually is a phone call with you, and then it's up to you to close that deal.
Which social media, like, are you pretty excited about today that you've been using more lately? Of course, TikTok has become more popular with the pandemic, but which social media platform is still the most powerful right now?
Okay, so Facebook is the most powerful one. And the beautiful thing about Facebook is that they also own Instagram. But I think that the secret weapon right now that people aren't really leveraging is being able to automate some of the Instagram stuff. And I'm not talking about just regular outreach. For example, when I host an event, you could tell people to go to miamimarketer.com/download, and you can access my guide, whatever. That's what people would say. The other thing is texting. Oh, text the word MM to whatever the phone number is. But what's been really, really interesting right now, and I don't know, by the time you're listening to this, I don't know if it's going to be still popular, but this is like something that's really effective. And that's being able to create a messenger-based automation inside of Instagram. And I can actually get people to opt in, send me a message in Instagram, and then they're automatically added to my CRM, and I can automatically send them a link to whatever the resource is. And they're actually inside of my CRM. A lot of these other automation bots that I've seen out there, they're very complicated. They're expensive. And you really can't do much. You can't automate. Like, you can't create like a full messenger experience with those people. So I've been able to do this with a software called AMO CRM, AMOCRM. And it's been a total game changer, because that right there could bring in Skype messages, WhatsApp messages, Instagram messages, Facebook messages, Facebook lead ads, a chat on your website. Like, it could bring all of these messenger-based inquiries or initial communication with someone and put it right inside the CRM, and then you can automate that entire thing. I wouldn't be surprised if, well, TikTok, I haven't seen like the messaging aspect of that yet, but they also have like Telegram. They have WeChat. That's another one. They also have Twilio integration. You could do voice over IP. So this has been like a major game changer and very under the radar over here in the States. So that's been, Instagram has been a nice little way to get leads to come in, because people are more open to clicking on follow and sending you a message on Instagram versus the other ways that we are used to right now.
Glad you brought that up, because coincidentally, this week I had two prospective clients reach me out on Instagram, especially via message. And I didn't know about like the whole Instagram message bot. I've seen Facebook message bots and they work great, But the Instagram one, that could be a game changer.
Yeah, wait till you see it. I'll send you the link, man. I mean, I don't get any affiliate, but I am a partner for MLCRM, and I can send you a link so that way they know that I'm the source of you going to it. But I'm telling you, it's a game. It really is a game changer because it does allow you to create the automations for the messenger of Instagram, and you can have trigger words. And the entire conversation is inside of the platform, so you don't have to go to Instagram to continue the conversation. You can just do it right from the platform. It's all web-based, and they also have an app for iOS and Android, so you can basically message them on Facebook, Instagram, all to the same exact platform, so you're not going crazy with all the different areas.
You've become very more techy, more glitchy for sure, because you know this is not something that a lot of people will get into, but of course, with your DOS experience... with your dad, I think this really helps out. Obviously, like the algorithms have been changing through Facebook and Instagram. Is it necessary to boost posts now?
Right now, I would never boost a post. I really would never boost a post because I feel that boosting a post does. Facebook has gotten better with allowing you to kind of tweak it to be a little bit more custom to what you're looking for. But boosting a post, in my opinion, is a waste of time because you're just spending money to get people to look at a post. And that's not, if that's the case, I would rather focus that money on completing a specific objective. And that objective could be watching a video. That's my favorite objective in Facebook, watching a video, because it creates like these funnels, these video funnels where there's no question that somebody's actually engaged and interested. So for example, if you're creating like a 3-minute video and you upload straight to Facebook, what will happen is that Facebook is going to find people who are going to watch this video. But then Facebook allows us to create segments based off of how much of a video they've watched. So if you go ahead and put like a 3-minute video, you can say, hey, Facebook, how many people watched 25% of the video? How many people watched 50%? How many people watched 75% or more, right? And now I can tell Facebook, okay, cool. I want you to go ahead and retarget the ones who watch 50% or more and have them see this next ad. Because now you're going to show the ad to people who are likely to actually engage with you versus just trying to see who's going to stick. So that's why I love the video views objective with Facebook. And if you combine that with like a funnel where, I mean, lead ads are still pretty cool. Lead ads is where the capture of that person is done inside of the platform. So you can actually get their name, their email address automatically. They don't have to leave the platform to send it to you. And if you have like Zapier or some other bridge tool to send that data to your CRM, that's a way where you could kind of just avoid having to buy a bunch of other software, like a funnel page software or anything else. And you could just go ahead and just build a list of really highly engaged people and then drive them to opt in and then take it to the next step with you. So that's been my favorite objective with all Facebook video views and then the lead ad.
What's more important, having more likes on your page, more followers, or is it the content itself is what's more important?
The content, but I would like to add a caveat to that content. Making the content valuable is what is going to be effective for that person, because at the end of the day, when you're looking at the internet, you have so many options as a user that it's very easy to get overwhelmed. So there's a bunch of distractions. So if you are a business owner and you want to earn trust, the only way to do that is by giving content that's valuable to people, and creating the right content allows you to build credibility, earn trust. And if you're consistently in people's faces, but by giving value versus just being a bunch of like spam, throwing a bunch of spam out there, that's more important than just trying to get a bunch of likes. In fact, I can start an ad campaign with a page that has zero likes and still be very profitable, because the likes really don't mean anything anymore. It's likes are just more like, hey, look at me, I got a bunch of likes, versus wow, look how much money I'm making or how many leads I'm generating because of my content.
Which I agree, because I saw one realtor that had amazing video content. He was interviewing Tom Ferry, Grant Cardone, and he had like hundreds and like millions of views. But his Facebook page likes was like 300, 400. But he was still getting views with his videos.
Yeah. You can pay. Listen, it's Facebook is like one of the best platforms to drive the right eyes to your content. So it doesn't matter how many likes you have. The likes are cool, but it's not as valuable. Listen, if likes are important to you, then you're probably somebody like in the entertainment space, where you have to sell to, because sponsors, a lot of sponsors, they don't care about how much value you're giving. They just want to see how many likes you have. So if you're looking for sponsorships to become an influencer, they look at those numbers. They look at those metrics. But if you don't have those likes, then they'll look at you and be like, well, you're not popular. Why would we want to, you know, spend money on you as an influencer? So that's the only time I would see likes being very important. But for small businesses that don't really need to be influencers like that, then no, it's not that impacting, or I don't think it's going to hurt you by not having a ton of likes.
What's more important, the IG story, IGTV, or regular IG video?
That's a good one, man. This is what I've learned. On every platform, just because you don't use it doesn't mean that it doesn't have an audience. So I'll put that in my world. I don't really look at IG stories that much. I really don't. I'm looking at the feed, and I will click on like an IG, like the one of those longer videos, IGTV style, where you can watch more than a minute's worth. I will watch that. But I've done ads for all different mediums, because you can have separate ads for each one. And just because you don't use it doesn't mean you're going to get people liking it or commenting it or whatever. What I like about the stories aspect of it, and then combining it with something like MLCRM, is that not only do you get the ability to swipe up, and because Instagram doesn't allow you to have links inside the form, the actual platform, but the IG story to swipe up is very, very powerful. And you can initiate a message with someone, and if you're using MLCRM, now they're inside of your CRM. So IG stories seems to be very like an undervalued. I think it's underrated for sure right now, until marketers discover it and then they ruin it.
Which was a quote I cannot forget when you told me at WordCamp. Let's go into texting, which that quote related is to texting. I know texting has become way more popular. Tell me, where is it at right now? Is it a way to go?
Yeah, man. So here's the thing. It's not that it's the way to go. It's that you have to kind of imagine it like being an octopus. The octopus has like the center of the head, and the octopus has a bunch of different arms. And if you want to be able to eat as an octopus, you have to use your arms to grab the food. If you only have one tentacle to try to look for food, you're really minimizing your chances of eating. So that's why you have to use all of your arms to try to feed yourself, no matter where they're coming in. So I like to, you have to combine the different mediums so you can really feed yourself, because if you only depend on one, that might not be the one that's working right now. But everything, I feel like, has a season. And when you're combining all those different mediums, you're likely to really increase your chances of being successful with that. So I wouldn't say texting is dead. Texting is not dead. It just has its audience. So there are some people that would rather text, but there's some people that would rather message on Facebook. There's some people that would rather message on Instagram. There's some people that still do LinkedIn. There's some people that do email. So you have to combine them all, because if you don't, you're all by yourself.
Definitely agree. And like you were saying, the marketers will try to ram it through or just butcher it eventually. And then there'll probably be some other like spam act for text messaging, how they did with emails.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, there's already the TCPA, which is the Telecommunications Protection Act. And, they have rules already in place. And I know that they had the GDPR in Europe. So, people are cracking down, which is, I think it's good. It's good for the industry, because we need to be able to think of the end user versus trying to sell to them. Because at the end of the day, we are end users also. We have to like, hey, okay, cool. I know I have these clients or potential clients that they're like, hey, I just bought this list of 50,000 email addresses, or I just bought this list of 50,000 text phone numbers. Can you automate and send these messages? All I need is just 1% of this sale, and I'd say that everything is worth it. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. If that was the way everybody would do it, that's basically what it comes down to. So, and you know what? And I'm sorry to take up so much time, but although marketers ruin it, there's still a market for it. There's still an audience for it. So I know that email is one of those areas where it's been oversaturated and it's been spammed, but still emails are very effective. You just got to find different ways to make sure you make it to the front and you're adding value inside of that email. And it just still combine it. Just because you don't use it or you don't use it for yourself doesn't mean that it's not going to be something people would react to. So I as long as you're providing value, you could kind of just go over the noise and stand out from a bunch of other people, because, you know, it at the end of the day, there's still audiences that are willing to consume content in that specific way.
I agree totally with you with the emails. I became a believer of emails about 2-3 years ago, still use it today. I think it's a good way to have a list, because there's been cases where, you know, some of my clients or even myself, where you have Facebook pages, you know, just shut down by Facebook or your Twitter or your Instagram for no reason. But you have that list just right to back up, because, you know, the social media, they own that space. Like, they could do whatever they want. So it's always important to have a backup, like email list campaigns and everything else. Which leads me to my next question is, can you tell us a few tools that you're using today that are must-haves for marketers or business owners?
Okay. ActiveCampaign, hands down, is the tool that every business needs for marketing, for sales, and for operational needs. Meaning, you can automate the intake process for yourself in the business. You can automate internal notifications for your team to, hey, don't forget your timesheet. Like, you can automate a bunch of things inside. Ammo CRM is one of those under the radar tools that I really believe in. So that way, you can streamline the whole lead capture process and keep track of everyone you talk to. And let's say one more tool, Publer seems to be one of those tools that I'm very happy I got, which is, it's a way to automate and send out messages. It's kind of like Hootsuite, but it's different. It's a lot better, in my opinion. Hootsuite, I think, kind of just lost its way a while back. Too many people heard of it, so they're not as innovative as they used to be. So Publer is one of those really neat ones to kind of just send your messages out to all your different social media platforms.
How do you spell that?
Those three are my favorite go-tos. Publer.
Publer, yeah. We'll definitely have this in the show notes. I know Carlos will send me some links, and definitely get that started, because marketing is for almost everyone. Carlos, what is the best way to reach you online?
MiamiMarketer.com. Instagram, just find Miami Marketer, one word. And I answer every message I receive. Maybe not right away, but I answer them. I definitely answer them.
That's very true. That was what you did, because I know you're a pretty busy guy, but I think the response time is key for a good business, isn't it?
Absolutely, man. That's why the bot really helps, because the person that, right now, remember, marketers haven't ruined this technique yet. So as long and if you include like typos in your messages, it kind of keeps that whole little authenticity there too. So yeah, the bots really help out to that first response.
Carlos, any closing words?
No, man. Don't get frustrated. Automate it. That's my living, my slogan.
And there you have it. Automation is probably one of the key words in this podcast, and definitely we encourage you to do that. You can follow us at SLeonProductions.com or at Sleon on IG and also Twitter. And we'll definitely, this is a great podcast, great conversation, a lot of tools that I definitely will be using, and we'll definitely be posting on the notes. Carlos, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
My pleasure, my brother. Thanks for having me, man. Hablamos. Dale.